Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Thin Line Believers in another podcast this week. This week I have a guest on the show, one of my good friends named Seth Baker, who is an associate pastor at West Salem Foursquare, and actually I'm just finding out is going to be taking a leadership role at another church here pretty quick. So I won't give that away here too soon. But anyway, welcome aboard, Seth. I appreciate you joining me tonight.
Hey, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Cool. Hey, so talked to Seth a little bit before we got started here, and a topic that just keeps coming up, and I'm sure that you guys have heard me talk about this many times, whether it's over the podcast or in written form, that, you know, as police officers and first responders all around, we have our share of trials, and whether it's the trials at work or the trials at home or both, just because we deal with something at work doesn't mean the stresses and the difficulties at home go away. And so how do we deal with these trials? How do we deal with these stresses? And Seth, before I got on here, I just for some reason felt compelled to kind of look up some statistics. And here's part of what adds to our stresses is according to ODMP.org, which is Officer Down Memorial Page, the total line of duty deaths in 2018 was 148. And already in 2019, from what I've been able to see, there have been 5 officers killed at the time of this podcast, including one officer down in California who'd only been a cop for 2 weeks. So, you know, things are crazy. We go through trials, we go through stresses, you know, that's just part of life. And I think especially as Christians, that's a big part of life. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And I know we talked before that maybe we'll start in James chapter 1. This is a really familiar passage that I'm drawn to it a lot. And maybe it's just because of what we do and the people that I work with. But I'll start at verse 2 here. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then I also noted down below, verse 12 in chapter 1. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Mm. So, man, there's a reward for those of us who endure these trials, and we don't get to choose whether we endure them or not. But I'll tell you what, they are you know, purifying us in the fire. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the idea, the notion that everybody, believer or not, will experience trials and temptations. And I think how we as believers react and respond in those times are key. And that's what differentiates us from a non-believer, I believe. And I think how we act and how we react in times of trials can be our greatest witness to non-believers. And I think that's kind of what we're getting at here in James 1 is consider it pure joy, because that can be your witness, and that can be your testament to non-believers in tough times. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if Seth, if you keep up with the Corson family at all, and I know a lot of people do, but right now I'm watching as John Corson's oldest son, Peter John, is facing stage 3 cancer, and they gave him, I believe it was 3 to 12 weeks left. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, watching that, even from the perspective of a Christian, man, if I wasn't a Christian and I'm watching how they're handling this, it's pretty amazing. There's the faith, the peace that they have. I don't see that outside of a believer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what delineates. I believe a non-believer and a believer, and even a mature believer. I think that's important to delineate too. Is peace comes in almost an immediate fashion when we allow it to, and when we call unto God to do that. I go to Philippians 4, and it talks, and we're reading about, you know, peace that transcends all understanding, and that doesn't come just by boom right away, whatever. But there are things that we need to put into practice to that, and you know, giving our cares to God, and then focusing on things that are pure and right and lovely and noble, and then singing praises to God, you know, and then the peace comes and transcends. And I think this is the same thing in trials and tribulations, is going in and having that that inner peace that is unexplainable other than the peace of the Holy Spirit is important. And so as we look at, you know, what sets apart a non-believer, a baby believer, you know, or a mature believer, they're patient in this testing. It's not a why me kind of a thing, but they endure it. Then they focus on the truth, and they focus on love, and they have power, and they hold things. They hold things that, you know, they don't lash out. They don't cry out in inappropriate ways, and they're seeking to make peace in that situation with their situation. And I think the last point that I would go to is that they're always peaceful, no matter what. They're always prayerful, no matter what, during these times. So they're always turning to prayer, And I think that's the key to enduring in trials and tribulations. I had a question for you, mm-hmm. Adam, as you're going through here, and you talked about, you know, having these things on the job as a state trooper how do you essentially turn that off from your family, and what are your best practices to, you know, having things that you're going on, you know, in work, and then you're coming home, and you got to hang that up and leave it outside. You know, what are your best practices for doing that?
Oh man, that's a tough trick, and that's something that you know, I've been hearing since the academy, and in the academy you think, okay, yeah, that's neat, I'm gonna be able to do that, mm-hmm. but when you get home, man, you know, sometimes it's really tough to shut it off before you go inside, because I mean, I think the only people that can do that have split personalities, really. But yeah. I mean, part of it is, you know, I am not the same person I was 10 years ago when I started doing this job, that's for sure. And it's taken a learning curve, and luckily I got a good woman who knows how to deal with that and how to point it out. But a lot of it is, I'm able to go to work and look for the ways that I can not always share my faith, because I believe we're supposed to be led by the Spirit, whether we're to do that or not, but looking for ways to, you know, let my faith show through me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so that actually takes a lot of the stresses out of the job, but I mean, we still deal with them. And so, I've heard of people who, even psychologists. I went to a suicide prevention class, and the lady that was teaching it said that when she was done with her day, before she got home, she had to tell herself, the problems I've dealt with today are not my problems. And, she had to purposely reset. And I'm sure that works for some people. I try to have an outlet. My outlet, is prayer. And I think that, that God uses these trials to drive us to prayer because he wants a close relationship with us. And when we're obedient in that, in my case, when I'm obedient in that, when I'm seeking him, and when I'm honest in my prayers, I mean, that's a big thing. I can't, man, I'm talking to a God who knows every bit of me, and if I'm not being open and honest, he knows it. So, I mean, I think that's a big part for me is prayer and helping me to reset. And sometimes it doesn't work, mental resetting before I walk in the door, and sometimes I just can't go inside right away.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I know as a being an associate pastor, I sit with people and listen to troubles that they're having, and I'm no counselor by any means, but I listen and can give biblical counsel. But I found that sometimes it is it's tough even in my line to. To not bring that home, to not bring that trouble home with me, and then let that indwell in me. And like you said, there's been times where I've had to sit in my car for a little while, and it's praying and it's listening to some worship music to kind of refocus and recenter. And I think that's essential. And that's what I was talking about on one of the keys of the mark or one of the marks of a mature believer in the midst of trials is that he's always in he or she is always prayerful, is always turning to prayer and yielding to the Holy Spirit. I think that's a huge thing to get that reward, to get that to get that crown in the end. I guess is, I don't know if I got that wrong there. We read
No, yeah.
the reward,
You did coming from James, yeah. And
yeah.
you bring up, you also brought up one thing I wanted to touch on from Philippians that I've found at least in my difficulties to be really key. You said peace that surpasses understanding, and I think that okay, I don't think I know that God gives me that peace. When I seek him, when I focus on God, when I, even if I, I love what they say that if you fall on your back, at least you're looking up, right? When I fall on my back, if I look up, I receive that peace. But when I start looking at my problem and trying to understand it, I lose that peace. So it transcends the understanding unless I try to understand it, and then I lose the peace, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. It's a continual cycle that you're working in and you're walking through. Yeah.
So I think that you're absolutely right that, the more we mature, the better we start to handle these things. And I love that the more trials we go through, the more the small and petty things really just kind of fade away.
Yeah, it's kind of like water off a duck's back. I mean, it just kind of it as you start to walk in this and these disciplines start to become or these habits start to become disciplines and then it becomes second nature. You're it just kind of the way you respond to it. It's like that motion. I mean, it's there and you can tell, but it's gone. And it and I think that's where he's saying is consider it pure joy because it's building. The trials are building character and integrity and things like that. These strong characteristics is important.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we need to really just maintain the focus on that this world is not our home.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
I
Yeah,
think.
that's huge. Having that in mind, knowing that we're just we're sojourners, as some people have put it. You know, we're like it, I don't know if you were around a couple of years ago. We had a series called Aliens and Strangers, and essentially we're strangers in this land. And if we can let that be our focus, that we're living for the kingdom of God, these things, like the song says, grow strangely dim, you know, in the light of Jesus's glory and grace. And I think that when that becomes our first response to trials, versus, okay, well, I've tried this, and now I'm going to go to prayer. Now I'm going to turn to God, you know, as a last resort. I think when that paradigm shifts, that's when you start to, you know, it just starts to become almost rote, you know, and
Yeah.
then it's a renewing of your mind. I think that's the important key.
That's true. None of us, certainly we weren't promised a life without trials. In fact, just the opposite.
If it was, I think if the way of the believer was easy, at the moment we believed, we'd be called home. And so there, I've got to think that there is a reason why we're here, and why we're faced with these things is it's important. It's important not just for our own self and self-betterment, but it's important, I think, for the kingdom. And so that's why, you know, we're not just, you know, we believe and then we're called home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know, many people that are going through a season of trials right now. So I mean, I'm kind of curious from your standpoint with your background in the ministry, what do you say to folks that are struggling right now?
Yeah, I would say prayer it has to be your first response and not your last resort. And putting into practice Philippians 4 and making that almost like a school assignment, where you're just going over that and over, submitting your requests to God, yielding them to Him, and then focusing on good things, and then singing and worshiping Him. It has to become a go-to, and that's not just a one-time thing, one and done, but that's a continual mindset of releasing and letting going, and then doing that just continually, and making that almost rote is the key to this. And then realizing that we're no different than anybody else, and what delineates us from a non-believer is that we have the ability to have the Holy Spirit flowing through us. And so allowing that to happen, allowing that the Holy Spirit to flow through us and to fill us is a thing. And so that's a daily yielding to the Holy Spirit that has to take place. I think all too often for me, as a man, you know, I think, man, I'm handy. I can get things done. And so there's a lot of things that I think, no, I can just grit my teeth, and I can grin, and I can bear this, and I can do this on my own. And almost like this idea that I don't want to trouble God, you know, with all these little things. But, you know, He's the creator of the universe, and yet He cares for me, and He cares for the littlest things. There's nothing that I'm going through in my day that God doesn't care about. And, you know, I mean, I go to Matthew, and when Jesus is talking to his disciples, says, you know, not a sparrow falls from the sky that God doesn't know about. And a sparrow, two sparrows are sold for a penny, that he goes on to say. And so there are times when I think, oh, no, I don't need to worry about this. I don't need to trouble God. I can get through this on my own. And it's almost like, I mean, God's, you know, he's not laughing at me, but it almost feels like at times when I look back at that, God's like, come on, when are you going to figure this out? I care about those things. If you would just turn to me quickly in anything, in all things, it would be so much easier. It would be so much easier for myself. And so that's something that I've had to wrestle with and remind myself that the smallest thing God cares about, you know, and to give to Him.
Oh man, I'm glad you hit on that because I was just thinking in my head, man, how do we tell this to a bunch of guys who are type A personality who, take matters into their own hands? I mean, when I I mean, I work in teams. I work a lot in teams. And, you know, sharing the gospel is, well, it's not difficult because, you know, I'm to the point where I could care less what anybody thinks, but it's difficult in that I want it to be received. And a lot of times it's not. And I think it's because in this job, we get into this mindset where it's just like what you're saying, man, I can do this. I'm a type A, you know, I can, I can take matters into my own hands. And that's scary to me because then that's almost like a God complex. But at the same time, you know, if we're the called and we are, then I believe that God's going to allow those trials to hit us and hit us and hit us until we finally say, you know what, you're right. I can't do this on my own and I do need you. And, you know, there are times when the trials keep coming anyway, because, you know, I like the comparison of a smelter, you know, way back when they were, you know, heating up the gold and purifying it, you know, in the fire, the only way that they would know that it was pure and that it was pure enough is when they could see their reflection in it. And so I believe that, yeah, you and I are going to go through some fiery trials because, you know what, God's purifying us until he can see his reflection in us. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right that I think a lot of type A's need to kind of check their egos. And when these times come, man, we're going to be a whole lot better, a whole lot earlier if we look to the one who you know, guides us and keeps us.
Yeah, that's a really fine line. I mean, there are certainly a lot of qualities that you're just describing that make that are very beneficial for what you do and what I would say any first responder does. That's a very good thing, you know, and a very desired quality, but it's also, there's also a balance then as a believer as to, okay, where, like you said, where is this becoming a God complex and where is it not? And to walk that line. Cause, there are a lot of things with that personality that are very important. You know, the instinct to survive and in those situations is, you know, you have to have it. And so, it's finding that line and walking it. And I think that's different for everybody. I think that's at the end of the day, that's between each person and God and
yeah,
to walk that out. And I liked what you said, you know, about witnessing and having, you know, not caring about what people say, but then getting frustrated about their response. And the reality of it is that we don't have to put that burden on ourselves. That burden God has put on himself, and he's the one that ultimately is going to take responsibility. Our burden is to go and tell and and that he'll sort out the rest and he'll take care of it, you know. And so our obedience comes when we tell people, you know, we proclaim the kingdom and we proclaim the gospel. And I think that's where we're going to be. I don't know if it judged is the right word, but that's where we're going to be. You know, that's the important part for us, not the clothes or the cell.
Right.
That's not up to us. You know, and there's some great relief that can come to that, to that realization.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So, I mean, it kind of makes me think that, you know, we should all be a little more like David, warriors, but with a heart for God. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, good. I think we've accomplished what we set out for. You know, and this verse kind of came to mind earlier today, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. It's pretty familiar, but it's, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And our future is not in this world. It's on the other side. But, you know, in this world, God has plans for us to have hope. And I think that hope is only found in him, especially when we're going through these trials.
Yep. That's awesome.
So I guess we'll close with that. I appreciate you joining me here, to Seth. And until next time, I believe Steve will probably be with us next week, and he'll be giving the podcast here. I do have another guest lined out, like I said, for the next coming weeks, and hopefully we'll just keep trucking along. If you guys have any requests, let us know. And prayer requests, let us know. Find us on Instagram, Thin Line Believers, and most of your major podcast platforms. Just search for Thin Line Believers. Seth, I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, Adam, I want to say to you and to all the first responders listening, thank you so much for doing what you do. Your service means a great deal to me personally. So wherever you are, know that I am grateful for what you do.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Really do. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And we'll go ahead and sign off now.